Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Thank you for that lovely reading. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that by some amazing way, even the reading of your word can bless us. And we just pray that as we look at subjects taken from that, Lord, and we just look at your word together, we ask for a blessing. We ask for, ask you to give us what we need this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is where your great brains come into action. What innovation or invention has been of greatest benefit to the human race during the last 2,000 years? I've got four, but I just wonder whether you had any.
The wheel.
The wheel. I like that. What can we do without the wheel? That was an amazing invention. Piers, did you? Well, yeah, actually, that's right, because if you think about old times in London, and that's not so good. Funnily enough, the first thing I thought about was Cadbury Smash for some reason. I don't know why. And I put the advert on with the little spacemen. They hit them with their metal knives, and they're all laughing around. Do you remember that one? You remember the advert? Yes, you do remember it. I put it on. It's very funny. I don't know why I thought of Cadbury Smash. That was first on my list. And the second one, of course, was sliced bread, which is washing machines. Yes, thank you. I mean, just think of the drudgery that saves and washing machines. Sorry?
Electricity.
Yeah, that's an amazing invention, isn't it? Another one I thought of was penicillin, which I looked up, 1928. And who invented that? Alexander Fleming, yes. Something about something in a petri dish and the mould going round, and he saw the anti... Yeah, I'm lost now. So, anyway, he invented it, which is amazing. Anything else from you? English, please. Antibiotics. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
All right.
Good for conjunctivitis.
Okay, that's good. That's a brilliant one. Another one I got, and this is not for me, it's one of my host group buddies, the microchip, which affects all our lives. 1959, that was one then, Jack Kilby and Robert Noyce, the microchip, because that's in all our electronic equipment, apparently, Silicon Valley and all that. What about this one? Anesthesia. So do you remember in Master and Commander, in the ship, when they had to chop off the boy's leg without any anaesthetic? And that was anaesthetic, 1846, Thomas Green Morton, who was a dentist. Any others? Interesting, isn't it?
The printed word,
yeah, thank you, yeah. Yeah, yeah, the printed word, yeah. You just think back and when the Bible was printed and all that. I mean, it's amazing. And we can read all these things, including the Bible, of course. And then I put, the last one I put was the telephone by
Alexander
Graham Bell in, anybody know the date? No, I didn't either. 1885. I looked it up. 1885. And of course, if you think of the mobile telephones that we all have, who would have known 20 years ago what would happen with that? It started off with Alexander Graham Bell. Well, exactly. There you are. And if you remember it in the 80s, do you remember the big brick ones? The ones that were like that. That was the original one, wasn't it?
The chocolate bar.
That's an interesting one. Innovation, I like that. So, bearing this in mind, you've been brilliant, by the way, bearing this in mind, I wondered what difference, really, the advent or coming of Jesus made to our world, bearing all these amazing inventions in mind. Well, I sort of, first thing I thought, and then I looked it up, was about the calendar, you know, BC and AD. And I looked it up, and apparently the Julian and Gregorian calendars were based on the birth of Jesus Christ, and obviously are widely used today. So BC means, and AD means Anno Domini, which means in the name of the Lord. Now, apparently before that, Anno Domini was shortened. It said Anno Domini Nocti Jesu Christi, which translates as in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was shortened to say in the year of the Lord. Now, so that's quite a big thing, you know, to think that when Jesus came, our whole sort of the AD 1 started. And that was something that happened when Jesus arrived. It's a big thing because it's recognized throughout the world. So the advent of Jesus marks a point in history which has been recognized throughout the world, which is what I said. So what else has Jesus Christ made a difference? Well, I got a few things that I think Jesus has made a difference to. The first one is light and choice. This is what Jesus has brought into our world, light and choice. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We all know that verse. And in John 3, verse 19, it reads this. This is the verdict. Light, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And you know that's still true today? You think of the nightclub. They're dark and dingy places if you go in. And you think, why? Because it's called a nightclub. Darkness. There's very low ceilings and everything's painted in black. But Jesus was the light of the world. So the first thing Jesus gives us is choice and light. What else did Jesus bring? Well, he brought parables, didn't he? Parables, as I understand them, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Mark chapter 4. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Those parables have been with us for 2,000 years. And we know them, especially if we've been brought up in a Christian sense. And the parables of Jesus have stood the test of time. Jesus told stories that have been remembered and retold over and over again through the 2,000 years. And if you go back in history, you'll know that countries had an oral tradition where the wise people of the culture would tell stories to remember things. Well, of course, that's exactly what Jesus did during his life. He told stories, he told parables, and they've been remembered. That's the amazing thing. And then we get on to the teachings of Jesus, John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, I thought to myself, how relevant that is in today's world, isn't it? Isn't it relevant when you consider all the faiths in our country? How relevant those verses is. What a challenging verse that is that Jesus brought. And it's still as relevant today as it was all those years ago. Then we have, of course, the miracles of Jesus. And I picked a verse when Jesus was answering a question from John the Baptist, who was in prison. And he said, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to all the people." So what Jesus said, he said, go back and tell John what you hear and see. So it actually happened. And of course, when you look at the Gospels, they were from what the Gospel writers experienced, weren't they? They were written down. So we've got the three synoptic Gospels and John's Gospel. And they told the story in slightly different ways because that's how they perceived it. And then finally in this section, we've got the example of Jesus. Jesus was the greatest role model in history. It's really sad when the sort of things is on the TV these days, the sort of things that young people look at as role models, celebrities, etc., because they lead very shallow lives. But when we look at the example of Jesus in John chapter 13, it says this, Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So that example of Jesus, he didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. And when he washed his disciples' feet and said, he was giving us an example, and his whole life is an example to us. Would you agree with that? It's a great example for us to follow. So the advent of Jesus brought, this is what I just said, light. I am the light of the word. It brought choice. It gave us a choice as whether to believe in Jesus, whether to choose the light or the dark. He gave us parables. He gave us teachings. He gave us miracles. And he gave us his example. So, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the temple in Luke chapter 2, I think that they could have had no idea as to the significant role that Jesus would play then and in world history. They just couldn't have had an inkling. They did it to fulfill the law, and they turned up, but I don't think they had an idea what was happening. And in fact, in Luke 2 verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about them. What? How can this be with this little baby? So let's have a look then at the two people who were given pride of place in this story. That's Simeon and Anna. Now, Anna, I say poor old Anna, I think it's amazing to be remembered in the Bible, but Anna just has 3 verses in the Bible and Simeon has 10. But, you know, they make quite a significant contribution to what we know of the advent of Jesus. And what I thought was, first of all, I wondered how Anna and Simeon were viewed by their fellow Jews. Because we read a lot about how devout they were and how they prayed and they were in the temple. But I can hardly think that this was the first time they mentioned about the coming of the Messiah. I got the impression that they would have been, every week, they would have been saying, right, the Messiah's coming, he's on his way. And of course, after a year or two, don't you think people might have been a bit fed up with them? Just keep repeating the same old thing. And it just made me wonder what they were viewed, because it's amazing that the words are in the Bible, but I just wondered how their contemporaries viewed them. See, they had been given special insight by the Holy Spirit, just as what to expect. And, you know, as individual Christians, did you realize that God can speak to us and give us a special job to do? He can give us special insight. He can give us wisdom when we need it. Did you realize that? So that when things come crashing around our ears, we can sometimes find a little gem, perhaps from the Bible or from the Holy Spirit speaking to us, that can help us. Did you realize that? So it's not just Anna and Simeon. God can speak to us. And sometimes God puts a burden on our heart for a specific thing. Perhaps it's to pray for somebody. Perhaps it's for a person. And I would just encourage you, if you've had someone on your heart for years and you think, why do I keep going? Because nothing's happened. And I would encourage you to continue praying or continue blessing that situation or blessing that person, because we never know when God's going to act, and God's timing is always perfect. Yeah? You agree with that? And when this happened, I just think there's a great sense of God's timing here, that God's timing is always perfect. But God can use us to do an amazing thing, just as he did with Anna and Simeon. They had waited and waited for this moment, as we might have done for answered prayer, seemingly for their whole lives. So, as I said, I think the fellow Jews might have been a bit fed up with them, going on and on and on about it. Oh no, not that old chestnut again. Not again this week. Pipe down. They might have been told to pipe down. The cynics would have had a field day. We face a world of cynics, by the way, as Christians. And in the media, etc., always trying to pull down the Christian faith. But it's really interesting, because we had a visit from Open Doors at Biddeford a few weeks ago, and the places where persecution is at its highest, the church is growing. And they said straight from, this is from India, they said, don't pray that persecution is taken away, pray that God will strengthen us through it. That's what they asked for prayer. They didn't ask it to be taken away. And I thought that's really interesting. So why should it be that when the church is persecuted, the Christian church grows through persecution? And I know it's not growing in the UK, not like that in percentage terms, but it's interesting how God moves, isn't it, in his world and what he does. So some things never change. We've still got the cynics among us, but we can pray for them. We can pray for the situation, and prayer changes things. So looking at Anna for the moment, just the three verses. She was a prophetess, just reminding us what the Bible says. She was a prophetess. She was a daughter of Phanuel. She was a member of the tribe of Asher. She was widowed, and after seven years of marriage, she was a devout Jew who regularly practiced prayer and fasting. And I've got a verse here, Luke 2:38, coming up to them at the very moment she, as Anna, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Well, what a moment. What a moment for Anna. That was her big moment for her, to say what God had been telling her all these years. And I just think that one day we'll have our big moment too, when we can do a little thing or say a little word. The other week I was, this was completely random, but I came home late one Friday and I fancied a Chinese. I got myself a Chinese. It was raining and I was getting a taxi home. So I was waiting, no taxis. So I've been waiting 5 minutes. A lady turned up. And I thought, how long have you been waiting? She said, 5 minutes. So anyway, waited another 10 minutes, and the taxi, and God just said to me, well, just let her go first. Just random act of kindness, as you were. So I said, no, you go first, that's fine. 30 seconds later, another taxi came, took me home. Sometimes the things we do, the little things, mean a lot, yeah? And sometimes the little prayers we pray mean a lot. So I'd encourage you to keep doing the little things. Anna had 3 verses in the Bible, but they were of great significance. Simeon. So Simeon's words reveal that Jesus would be, he had a bit more to say, didn't he, with 10 verses. Jesus would be the salvation of the world, said Simeon. Jesus would deliver truth, not only to those in Israel, but also to the Gentiles. And of course, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So again, you see how the prophecy fits in. Jesus would bring glory upon the people of Israel. Luke records that Jesus' parents marveled at what was said, as I mentioned earlier. But just listen to Simeon's prayer in Luke 2, verse 29. Just read Simeon's prayer. Sovereign Lord, this was over the Lord Jesus, really. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, I've done my job. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So can you see how God had prepared Simeon for this moment, and he spoke those wonderful words? And it's got to be from God's Holy Spirit. And I just encourage you to, when God speaks to you about a situation and you've got a gut instinct about something, you should say, perhaps you could send a little card, perhaps you should do something. Follow it through. Because the smallest thing, the smallest word from us, is equivalent to be in the words of God. Does that make sense? Because we're Christians and filled with the Spirit, if God asks us to do something and we think, well, that's a bit odd, and let's just do it. Let's just do the little things and pass on that blessing to others. I'd encourage you with that. So Simeon had been in the right place at the right time to speak out for God. So what then is your response to the advent or the coming of Jesus? Martin's Money expert is doing a survey at the moment, and it says that apparently most adults, it's in the process, according to Karen, she told me about it, and most adults think that Christmas should, they'd happily get rid of Christmas. They think Christmas is just for children, and they'd happily get rid of it because of all the excess that goes on. But when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I don't care what the survey says. For Christians, Christmas actually means something. It actually speaks of a time when Jesus came into the world. And we look forward to that sort of on Christmas Day. That's our day of remembering that. But all the things I mentioned at the start, it speaks of God coming to the world and what he's done for the human race. And I suppose the biggest of that for me would be bringing light into the world and darkness and giving us all a choice. God's given us a choice. Of course, we can choose to follow Jesus or we can choose not to. But when I look at these programs of on a Saturday night, Friday and Saturday night in our cities and see what goes on, I feel quite sad because there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who choose to follow the ways of the world rather than to follow Jesus. They ridicule Jesus, but then they end up in the gutter because they've had too much to drink. And we live in a very sad world, don't we? So Christmas for me is remembering about the light that came into the world and that Jesus gave us a choice. It's of having a foundation to cling to when things get tough. Over the last couple of months, I've had 5 things, big things come up in my life, And I think at the end of the day, some things I can't alter, and other things I can pray about. But having God there somehow makes a difference. Does that make sense? Having a foundation there, having a faith, makes a difference to where I would be if I didn't have a faith. So having a foundation to cling to, of knowing that whatever life throws at me, this is my response really, I have a God who loves and cares for me. And in this world that we live in, it's really important that we all have someone who loves and cares for us. But we don't only have flesh and blood people, of course. We have a Heavenly Father who loves and cares for us. We have a Saviour. We have a friend called Jesus who came into our lives at some point and made a difference to our lives. And that makes such a difference. So I'd like to finish where we started, really, with Isaiah 9, verse 6. And just ask you to consider ask yourself the question, what does the advent of Jesus mean for you? And I just finish with these verses. And Isaiah said, so that's talking about 700 odd years before Jesus was born, a word of prophecy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Amen. Shall we just pray and then we can sing our last song? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of the Bible. We thank you for the testimony of Anna and Simeon and how that they were in just the right place at the right time to speak out for God. I just pray that during December, the Christmas period, that you would help us to be in the right place at the right time and to speak out for God. I pray you would help us to do the little things that make such a difference to people. Perhaps send a card, perhaps pray for somebody, perhaps do a little act of random kindness, Lord, that would show that somebody cares for them. And Lord, I just thank you for this, your word, and thank you for this worship this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless each of us in the way that you wish to. In Jesus' name, amen.